you, Warren. Thank you, worship team. God is good, isn't he? God is good. Before I share from Scripture, I want to just thank everybody for your prayers this week and just give a quick update on Rudy. He had his surgery on Tuesday. Everything went very well. He came home with almost no pain except where the incision was. Is very excited that he can stand upright instead of all hunched over. But yesterday he decided he was going to help Brandon with something and went out into the garage to get something, stepped a little too high with that leg and ended up doing some damage. We took him to the ER as a doctor recommended. Nothing is broken, nothing is out of place. They figured it was just a pulled muscle. So continue to keep him in prayer. He wanted to be here today, but he's not here, and Brandon's home watching him to make sure everything is okay with him. So Brandon's daddy sitting.
You didn't really tend to a chair, though, right?
What was that?
You didn't really tend to a chair, right?
No, I did not. I threatened. But he. One thing I will say, we appreciate your love and your prayers for us. Let's pray before we turn to the Word. Heavenly Father, thank you today for your love for us. Thank you for your graciousness to us. Thank you that you can move the mountains that we can't move, that you can answer those needs and meet those needs that we can't meet. Thank you that you are who you are, that you love us, that you care for us, that you minister to us. And Lord, we've felt your ministry here already this morning, and be with us as we share from your word and as we share in communion together. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I will tell you this morning, it's not going to be a long sermon. It's not going to be a profound sermon. It's not going to have a lot of depth to it. Basically, as I have gone through this week, I came across something years ago and I wanted to share it as a thank you to who you are, to who we are as a church family. When I let you know that Rudy was having surgery, immediately you folks stepped forward. I had one lady who, I've had more than one offer to sit with us at the hospital. When we knew we were going to need a walker, I put an SOS out on Facebook, and I think it was 2 seconds later an answer came back, and the walker was dropped right off at the hospital, and the lady sitting with me went down and got it. Over and over and over again, you folks have stepped forward. You have shown yourself to be the church. You know, I've pastored for over 30 years, different places. A lot of it's been out in the community. Usually I'm the one going and sitting with people in the hospital. Usually I'm the one doing the running. I'm the one. You have been the church to us. You have done for us what I have always had to do for other people. And for that, my whole family says thank you. I put out an SOS this morning and one of our neighbors said, I'll take care of it for you. God is good, isn't he? God is good. And I want to say something this morning. I just want to give yourselves a round of applause. You are amazing. You are absolutely amazing doing what God has called you to do. Years ago, I came across a book entitled Tyndale Handbook of Bible Charts and Maps, and it has all kinds of maps, of charts, of material in there that I have used, I found very helpful in Bible studies and sermon preparation, doing what the Lord has called me to do. And there is one chart in there called Profile of a Strong Church. And I have shared this in various settings. I have shared this as a compliment to those who are doing what God has called them to do, and sometimes as a challenge to step up to the plate. But today I just feel compelled after your ministry to us this week to share some of these thoughts. Number one, a strong, healthy church is a place of refuge where people can find help. We live in troubled times, don't we? I've shared this before. We live in very troubled times. The church is called to be a place of refuge. Now, what is a refuge? It's a safe place, isn't it? It's a safe place. It's a haven, a place to find help, a place to find rest. When I think of this, I think of all of the scriptures from the Old Testament that talk about God being a refuge, God being a strong refuge, God being there for us, one we can turn to whenever we need help. And as I was thinking about this, I was reminded of an event that took place a number of years ago when my brother was living in Connecticut. He lived and worked at a place in Connecticut, and a hurricane had come up the coast, caused untold devastation where he was living. In fact, we were not able to contact him for a number of days. He wasn't able to contact us. This was before cell phones. Okay, we live in the age of cell phones. We have immediate access. Well, this was before cell phones. And I remember praying for him and the Lord giving me some verses from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. God is our refuge and strength, therefore we will not fear. God is our refuge, but we as a church need to be a refuge for those in time of need. We need to be a place where people can find help, where they can find safety, where they can find God's blessing. And I'm going to be honest with you, I have shared this with a number of people. One of the things I have been really blessed to see in this church is the children. As the children, and they feel safe, and they feel loved. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? They feel safe, they feel loved. A strong, healthy church is a place of refuge where people can come in their time of need and can find help and counseling and encouragement. Number two, a strong, healthy church is a place of instruction where people's faith and lives are built up. Verse 2, each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up, growing together in God's love and grace. Growing together. I have a lady friend that has attended some of the different activities and Bible studies and support groups that I have led, and she has said something very important. We're all at different stages in our walk with the Lord. But you know what? We're all journeying together in our walk with the Lord. If we can help somebody else who is not quite at the point we are, that is what we need to be doing. A number of years ago, I heard a story about an older man traveling down a road where there was a bridge that was kind of in disrepair. And he stopped to repair the bridge. And some onlooker said to him, "Why are you doing that? You're probably never going to come this way again." And that gentleman looked at them and said, "There's some younger fellows coming behind me. I want it to be safe for them to come through." We are, as a church, to help build others up. Wow. How do we do that? Words of encouragement, words of support, words of prayer, sharing of God's word whenever we can. We are to be learning and growing together. And yes, we are not all at the same stage in our walk with the Lord, but that's okay. People who have helped me the most are those who have been a little further along, and I'm hoping that I can help somebody who's not quite as far as I am. And speaking of that, we were so blessed the other evening, and I probably should have shared this earlier. Monday evening, as we were getting ready for bed, the phone rang. It was Pastor Paul Detmer calling to pray with Rudy, calling to check up on him. You know, that's wonderful, isn't it? That's wonderful to have that support, that encouragement, to have somebody there to build up and to encourage. Number three, a strong, healthy church is a place centered on Jesus Christ, where Jesus is held up as a model. This week, I was saddened to hear of the passing of one of our denominational leaders, Reverend Dr. Keith Drury, passed away this week. And I have several of his books at home, and I was trying to find one this morning. He wrote one book that has stuck with me. There is no I in church. There is no I in church. Sometimes we need to be reminded it's not about me. We have become a very self-centered society, haven't we? We have become a very, very self-centered society. And there comes a point we need to realize it's not about me. The church is about God, about Jesus Christ. But it's us as a body, as a family. Wow. I love that. I love that picture. And I love the fact that you have welcomed so many of us as family. We are family. It's not about me. When I am struggling, you help me. When you're struggling, I hope I can help you. May God help us in all things, though, to honor and glorify Jesus Christ. A strong, healthy church is a place filled with the word, where the scriptures are known and applied, where they are taught and preached. Where they are taught and preached. There's all kinds of books out there. There's all kinds of material out there. But you know what? This is our instruction manual. This is what we have to guide us, to lead us, to teach us, to instruct us, to help us to grow. One thing I have discovered in the Bible studies that I have had privilege of leading, we come from many varied backgrounds. Not everybody has a strong grasp of the Word of God, and we need to teach and help others to grow. And I still remember the Bible study at the Vilas home. Most weeks I was the only Wesleyan. Most weeks I was the only Protestant. Lisa was activities director for part of that time. We had a Catholic priest who attended faithfully. He would run down the hall to get there so he wouldn't miss it. We learned and studied together. We learned and studied together. We grew together. And there were times when I was struggling and I'd walk in and he'd look at me and say, "What would Jesus tell you to do?" Yeah, he'd say, "Trust me. Trust me." We have the Word as our guidebook, as our instruction manual. We have God's Word. Number five, a strong, healthy church is a place of prayer where endurance and encouragement are sought from God. It's a place where people pray for one another. It's not just about caring. It's caring enough to lift one another's needs to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Brandon usually picks up a gentleman for church on Sunday morning, and he got a hold of him last night, and I said, "I probably won't be coming because I'm taking care of my dad." You know the first thing this gentleman said? He says, "My dad is a pastor in Kentucky. Can I call him and have you folks put on the prayer list?" Wow. We've got people from all over the world praying for us. You want to know how that makes us feel? It makes us feel loved. It makes us feel loved. It makes us feel cared for. But we sang that song about God moving mountains. I can't move mountains. You can't move mountains. But we can bring our needs to the one who can. And he faithfully cares for and provides for us. Over and over this week, those needs have been met almost as soon as we asked. And that is because people love and care. You folks love and care. A strong, healthy church is a place of acceptance. We are called to accept one another just as Christ accepted us. Does that mean we're all alike? No. And that's okay. I can't sing. You don't want me to sing. Okay? Everybody would leave the church if I got up here and started singing. But you can do things I can't. I can do things that you can't. To accept one another in love. That's what God calls us to do. I'm going to quickly move on. These three tend to go together. Seven, a strong, healthy church is a place of togetherness where unity is recognized as a product of God's work. Unity. There's a difference between unity and uniformity, isn't there? Uniformity is where we're all alike, where we all dress alike, where we all act alike, where we are all alike. Unity is being united together as one in Jesus Christ. Facing and accepting our differences, but still coming together as one. Does that make sense? That makes sense. We are one in Jesus Christ. As we love and accept one another, we grow in that unity. Does that mean there'll never be problems? It means that we face those problems head on, we address those, and we move forward together. A strong, healthy church is a place of witness where acceptance of others is Christ-like. Accepting one another in love. Not accepting bad behavior, but helping people to grow in love. But being united together as a witness. There's a passage of scripture over in John's Gospel, John chapter 13, where Jesus took the time to wash the feet of his disciples. And one of the things that he said to his disciples, as I have done to you, do unto one another. Do this to one another. But he also says to love one another. By this they will know that you love one another. What do other people see? What do other people see? Do they see that as Christians we love one another, we care for one another? What a powerful witness that is. What a powerful witness that is to the watching world when they can see people loving and accepting one another. What a powerful witness that is. But that thought here of togetherness, of being one in Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of dissension out in the world. There's a lot of problems out in the world. But the church needs to be a place where God is honored and glorified, where he is lifted up, where his word is taught, where we accept and where we love one another. And I say this morning, I am sharing this because this is what we have found here. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for being the church. But the church is also a place, I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. The church is also a place, a strong, healthy church is a place where God's people can break bread together. Whether it be a meal shared together. Easter Sunday, when I came in to see the people gathered around the table, sharing in fellowship together. That was beautiful, wasn't it? That was priceless, wasn't it? To see that, to be able to take part in that. But the church is also a place where we can break bread together around the communion table. Isn't it Christ that unites us? Isn't it his shed blood, his broken body, that unites us? Isn't this what keeps us strong and firm and steadfast in our faith as individuals and as a body? May God help us. This morning, I hope you are not taking this as a rebuke. I want to commend you. I want to commend you for being so loving, so accepting. But I also want to commend you for your witness out in the community. Once Rudy has his other surgery and is back on his feet, we're hoping to be able to get involved in more activities here and in the community. And we appreciate your support in the meantime. But you are a witness here, but not just here. It overflows, doesn't it? It overflows. Thank you. Thank you, church family. Let's pray, and then I'll give you instructions for communion. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together and for what you teach us. Thank you for this church family. Thank you for your presence that just fills this place. Thank you for your love that fills this place. Thank you for these who have committed themselves to loving you, living for you, serving you, honoring you, and glorifying you. And help us, Heavenly Father, to continue to grow in your love and in your grace. And help us to be a light in this church, in this community, and around about us, that others might see and know and come to faith in Jesus Christ. Now be with us as we take a few moments to share in communion together. Bless these moments. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Here, Pastor Franklin is going to help me. I know we have some in the congregation who are not able to come up and get the elements. Raise your hand and he'll make sure you get that. We also need some from our worship team. We will share together, and then I'm going to have Pastor Franklin close us in prayer. But these are a little tricky, okay? There's a couple of layers here you have to peel up. So once you come and get them, go back and start working on them so that you'll be ready to share when we share together. But come, take the elements and go back to your seats, and the worship team will be joining us and leading us in song. As we share in communion together, let's take the little wafer that's on top. This represents Christ's body, which was broken for us. On that cross, he allowed his body to be broken. Why? Out of love for us. I mean, it's that simple. Out of love for us. Let's not overcomplicate it. He died, let his body be broken, and his blood shed, so that our sins can be forgiven. As we eat this bread, let's eat it remembering his love for us. The juice, or the fruit of the vine, represents his blood shed for us. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. In the Old Testament, the offerings had to be made over and over and over again. Blood shed every time somebody sinned. But Jesus died on that cross once for all, didn't he? Once for all shed his blood. And it's because of his shed blood and our faith in him, our acceptance of him, that we have forgiveness. As we drink together, let's drink celebrating his forgiveness, his gift of love, his gift of grace. Let us drink together. I've asked Pastor Franklin to close us with our final prayer.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your body and your blood that was shed to save us. It was shed to save all of mankind if we choose it. So I pray this morning for those of us who have chosen it. I pray for those who will choose it in the future, Lord. I pray that we would be a shining beacon, an example. Our Lord and Savior. So I pray as we go that we go remembering and living through the salvation that you have given us, through your sacrifice, Lord. Being willing to sacrifice for others in the same way that you have for us. Showing your light, shining it brightly, burning brightly for you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go in peace.